Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 332. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker, and we have an episode for you. It's not a big one. It's not a small. It's just a regular episode. It's going to be a great episode. I'm so excited about my tech rec because I'm going to get a live reaction of Sanjay when I debut it. So it's going to be amazing. We have Weird and Wacky, one Weird and Wacky for you, but otherwise it's a great week in technology. So
Things are good. I think everything's chugging along. We're easing into summer. When does summer start?
I don't know.
At some point, right? We're in spring right now.
Sweated too much for spring already. That's all I really know.
Really? So, already?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, baseball, man. Baseball games. Oh, in the blistering baseball sun. Games. Baseball games. So
Yeah. That'll do it. Well, as you're at a baseball game, apparently now you can do your taxes very easily.
Boom!
Claiming high user satisfaction, IRS will decide on renewing free tax site. You know, the interesting thing out of this, I was reading the article. If you do the math as to what they spent on this, it was basically comes out to like $90-ish per taxpayer. And it was a limited rollout. So that may feel a little high if you compare it to something like TurboTax, but I think if they can scale this, the price is going to drop dramatically. And I think we're all going to be happier and not have to be like, oh my God, I got to buy software again this year. And
This reminds me of all the social memes out there that are like making fun of the government. Like, so you're saying I owe taxes? And they're like, yes, but you're not going to tell me how much I owe in taxes. Yes. But you know how much I owe in taxes. Yes. And I'm going to go to jail if I don't pay the right amount that you know that I owe, but you won't tell me how much I owe. Yes. Okay, great. That's a good plan. So
why don't you just tell me how much money I owe?
So much easier. All right, next.
That's, by the way, I don't know if you got that. That was a reference to Seinfeld when Kramer was running Movie Phone.
Oh, that's right. That was such a great episode. I still remember that one.
Just tell me what movie you want to go see?
I still remember calling movie. Welcome to AOL's Movie Phone. Dude, all right, anyway.
That was later in the day.
That was earlier. It was AOL late movie.
It was just Movie Phone in the beginning.
Movie Phone, yeah.
You used to call Movie Phone, right?
Of course. All right, next up, FCC fines AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, and Verizon nearly $200 million for illegally sharing location data. Wah, wah, wah.
I don't like that they fine them because I'm unhappy that it ever happened.
Yeah.
It should have never happened. Yeah. I'm actually kind of glad that they fine them, but I'm very unhappy that they fine them because this happened. And T-Mobile was the one who's my carrier and I believe your carrier.
Mine too.
And they got fined the most. Yeah.
Well, and it was because apparently they sold the data and they were like somehow expecting the vendor they sold it to verify that it was okay to use the data or something
that's
weird.
Ridiculous.
Like, that's not how this works. Like that's not, you can't do that.
It's your customer, not the vendors that you're selling it to's data. Customer?
It's not their responsibility to do that. It's yours. Do your due diligence.
You know, some of this is like this, like, hey, let's figure out how to get even more money out of people.
Yes, that's right? What it is. Yeah.
You're already a good business.
It's always greed. Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's enough.
Yeah. It's enough.
You don't have to make more money.
Yeah. That's right.
It's good. Somebody else that needs to not make more money.
The Supreme Court. They don't need to make more money.
They're
making too much money from billionaires right now, is what's happening. People's houses being bought, all the stuff. I want my mom's house to get bought. That sounds like a plan.
Kids' tuitions being paid to school.
That's a whole lot.
Yeah. Anyway. Supreme Court gives SEC a win over Elon Musk. Elon is an idiot. So basically, I mean, let's call a spade here at this point. So background here, he started tweeting things that were not true, that were not proper to say because the companies he's talking about were public, his own companies.
His companies that were public, right. So he's moving the stock price based on his own tweets at the time.
Right. Yeah. Like when he said funding secured to take whatever private, I forgot even which company it was.
It was Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were like, that's not okay. And so now Elon has to get his tweets approved through a lawyer. And now he says
tweets about Tesla in particular approved through lawyers. So not all tweets, about Tesla. Yeah.
So then now he's like, well, this is infringing on my free speech and whatever. I'm like, yeah, no, but you agreed to it because you did bad. And now that you're trying to get out of it, it's basically you're admitting like, I'm going to do that again.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't going to do anything wrong when Who you'd cares? Already done wrong in the past, this extra step is not going to be an issue.
Right. Yeah. I wonder what the turnaround time is. Like from the time that he says, like, I want to have a tweet about Tesla to like the time that it can be pushed out publicly, having gone through the lawyers. Like what is that? Like for the richest man or one of the, I guess he's not the richest in the world maybe now currently, but like one of the richest people in the world. Like, is there like one lawyer like on call 24/7 and it like happens in 5 minutes? Or is that like a 2-day process? You know, that's really what I want to know.
Yeah. So. I mean, exactly. You should be able to hire a team. That's on call for whenever he wants to tweet
all the time.
Also, by the way, worst job in the world. Right there. Doesn't matter what it pays.
Speaking of worst jobs in the world, are people that don't have jobs now. In a surprise move, Musk axes the team building Tesla's EV charging network. So he eliminated the entire team. Like not, he didn't just clean like all of them just gone. And then he said, well, we're still going to build out the network just slower and we're going to work on reliability.
But here's the insidious thing about this.
Yeah.
I started thinking about this. I think the only reason he's able to do this is because he conned everybody else into adopting the charging connector that he has.
It's a Google Fiber play.
Yes.
It's the same thing they did with Google Fiber. They start rolling out Google Fiber to become competitive, to force fiber into places. And then AT&T is like, no, we're not going to be outdone. We're going to do fiber. And then they start rolling out fiber. And then Google's like, oh, we're not going to do fiber anymore. We don't really want to do that anyway. So yeah,
that's not actually a thing for us.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
That is exactly what he did.
And all these lemmings signed up for it and not seeing like what was going to happen down the road.
I feel like in some ways, Elon is just ridiculous and foolish. And in other ways, I feel like he's playing like 7-dimensional chess somehow. Not that that's a thing, but like he's like 15 moves ahead of everybody else somehow. You know what I mean?
It's a cunning and calculated move that I don't know if all these other people have realized. They just got hosed too.
I never thought of that.
They were waiting on this. You know, we're going to build this huge network. Well, now the company's imploding, you know, stock market's down, the stock price is down. They're having issues with production. Now they're doing this, all these things. But all of these car companies are already starting to build towards this connector.
Well, and there were theories on the internet about how Tesla is going to move away from cars and go more into charging and like build out that. And that's how they're going to make their money. But apparently that is obviously not the case, but you said that the company stock's down, but it's kind of back up right now, right? At least for the moment.
Yeah, it's easy to jump when it's already down, though. Tesla jumps 15% after passing key hurdle to roll out advanced driver assistance tech in China. But they were down before because there was a question about them rolling out and when they were going to roll out the less expensive, more affordable EV that they've been talking about, but
forever.
Now they finally got through these hurdles, and they've gotten through them by partnering up with, I think it's Baidu, in China, because one of their, you know, China's very smart about this stuff. They're like, hey, by the way, we don't want to have our data outside of our country, so you got to figure out how to keep it inside of the country.
Right.
Whereas here in the US, we're like, whatever, send the data.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we're like, wait a minute, they have all of our data. If you think about it, this is another one that I was thinking about, like, I wonder what I could do with that data. You know, we've talked about how these Teslas have all their cameras on, and sometimes they have them on when they're still just parked, and they're just basically mobile spy devices.
That's true, man.
And imagine if we could get access to, I don't know, all the roads in China, especially the places that are secret military institutions, installations.
Well, and they're banned. Teslas are banned in certain parts of China because of that exact thing, because they were concerned about security of their,
right.
I mean, similar to what's going on with TikTok in the US. I mean, it's a similar problem where they're like, so what are they going to do? Force Tesla to divest in China? I mean, anyway.
Yeah. I think what they did, the first step of it is like, hey, you got to keep all the data here. So find a Chinese partner to work with that keeps all the data here.
Yeah. But isn't that what TikTok does right now? They keep the data not in China for sure. And yet they're still like, you know, being banned.
Yeah, but I think the challenge with that one is the algorithms and what are they doing and how are they doing stuff.
How they're pushing content.
Right, because it's like a Tesla isn't going to change your mind about things, but how TikTok works and the media that it pushes you to.
It could, yeah,
could change like disinformation and things like that.
Yeah.
Like until a Tesla is going to start just showing videos while you're driving, it's not really doing disinformation.
That's true. All right. Speaking of, I guess self-driving, Ford's Blue Cruise hands-free system under investigation after fatal crashes. So this is the system that's on some F-150s, F-150 Lightning, the E-Mach, whatever, the SUV Mustang, whatever that thing is. And apparently it's had some crashes and it's under investigation, as is Tesla, as is everybody right now.
And so this is yet another one of those things of like, you know, if you're deploying services and products that could kill people, maybe you should take a beat.
Well,
good.
I don't know the specifics of that. There's only two crashes that are cited here. I don't know the specifics. I do know that this particular self-driving has been like applauded. I do know also they've got more rigor in place for making sure the driver is attentive. So they actually have an internal facing camera that makes sure that the driver's eyes are on the road. So I think that's good. So it's a lot harder to hack than say the Tesla is. So, I mean, I think there are some things going for it. I think the issue is that anytime there's going to be any kind of issue with self-driving right now, it's going to have to go under investigation, which is probably a good thing.
So. Yeah, it probably is. So yeah, maybe they've done all the right things, but clearly there are some updates that need to happen try to get to zero. I mean, that's the goal. And you're right. You know, you compare it to human drivers. Like, I mean, there's people killed, a lot of people killed every single day, in car accidents.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the self-driving, even the very poorly done with Tesla and, you know, dumb things being done with those cars, overall, the number of people that have been killed, even though it's not zero and it should be zero, is a lot less than anything else.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Something that's a lot more than anything else. Amazon says more packages are arriving in a day or less after a hefty investment in speedy fulfillment. Are you seeing this?
Yes. I hadn't even realized it until I looked at this article. But like, it's a great example. Yesterday evening. Okay. Uh-huh. Yesterday evening, I was like, you know, we need a container to keep the dog food in that'll keep it sealed and fresh and like, you know, so it won't go stale and, you know, whatever else. Like, that's just a best practice. I was like, I'm just going to go on Amazon, see if I can find one that's relatively cheap. Found one for $30, looked great. I was like, okay, sure, I'll buy it. You know, buy now. Didn't mess with the shipping dates. Don't really care when it comes. It was on my doorstep this morning when I stepped out to take my kid to the bus stop at 7:10.
Wow.
And it's like, and I've noticed that more and more and more over the last couple of years where like things, it's not 2 day shipping. It's like one day, it's sometimes same day. And I don't know that I really even appreciated it until I read this article. I was like, huh, that's a really good point that there's been this concerted effort to make this better. And I guess I've appreciated it. I mean, how about you?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the same thing. And I will say for our listeners, we benefit from the fact that we're in a large metro of Atlanta. Yeah. There's been a lot of development of warehouses. Like there's the one that's near us that by that Costco on Venture Drive and 85 there. The old Dave and Buster's it was that has been converted into an Amazon warehouse.
That's right. Facility. Yeah. Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. I've never been inside of there. I kind of wish, I hope that they save some of those arcade games and they're available there for employees to play. But
that's where I played VR for the first time.
Did you?
In the early 2000s. In the 90s.
Yeah. So I think, you know, especially in large metros, you're the beneficiary of kind of that density that's happening.
Yeah.
And so we definitely see that as well. There are some things, though, that still end up taking quite some time to get to you.
Yeah.
I think they tend to be the higher ticket items because they just don't distribute those everywhere because you just, it's harder to predict that stuff.
One thing,
but it's super interesting.
One thing in this article that I thought was fascinating was that it talked about the average fulfillment center is like 26 football fields long or something insane.
26 football fields.
Yeah, wow. But they've got these smaller ones that are like, oh, it's only 100,000 square feet. But like, so like they have smaller ones deployed places to do more fast action delivery. But like 26 football fields is like one of their typical ones. Like, oh my gosh, that is wild.
So I will tell you, I don't know if they're still doing this or not, but of the major fulfillment facilities that Amazon has, you can actually sign up, or at least back in the day, you could sign up to do a tour. It's free.
What?
Yeah. Oh. And so we actually did this. We were traveling, we were driving somewhere, and in Chattanooga, I believe, is a facility.
Yeah.
And we did a free tour. The me and the fam, they give you some Amazon Basic headsets that you get to keep. But you plug them in and you listen and you do a tour with them and you walk around the facility. The kids actually did packaged up a box. It was empty, but it was an Amazon box that they packaged themselves at the little
station. Did they get to take it home and you've got this empty box at home as your souvenir is an empty box?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of your souvenirs from that. But it's like about an hour, maybe 45 minutes, an hour kind of tour.
Okay.
It's super interesting. You kind of go up on top and then you can kind of see the layout of the entire warehouse and all the stuff that's going on and just the activity.
Nice.
You get to walk around some of the aisles as well. And you kind of see how one of the things I think we've talked about on Tech Talk Y'all before is how they don't bin things based on the same items or kinds of items. It's kind of random. And it's because some algorithms realizing like, hey, these things are also bought with these things, even though they're unrelated, and they keep them in the same kinds of bins.
Right.
Yeah. And so you have people with these little tablets and they tell them what bin to go and to, and like pick stuff and the whole thing. So it's super fascinating. Dude. I don't remember the URL for the website, but if you do a search for Amazon tours, you'll probably be able to find it if they're still doing it.
So speaking of things you have to search for, and I'll explain, LinkedIn launches gaming, 3 logic puzzles aimed at extending time spent on its network platform. So a couple of quick thoughts. Number one, yes, I have played all 3 games. I played them all this morning. They were actually really well done and I enjoyed them. Number two, it was really hard to find the games. I had to literally go to, hold on, I'm having a camera problem there. Okay. That's fun. I had to literally go into LinkedIn and go to the search bar on my phone and type in games and then find the games from there. There was no icon or any like way to find it.
The article has a link to it because I just clicked the link in the article.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I was on my phone, so I couldn't do it that way. Did you play the games also?
I've actually not played the games. I haven't even looked. I was like, I didn't even know where they were. And then I started looking at the article just now. I'm like, oh, there it is. How are the games there?
Yeah, I mean, like one's like a Sudoku type game, which was really interesting. It took me a little bit to sort of understand it. And like I missed one of the points of it, like a little bit. So it took me a minute. Like I had to use some hints to get it. Another one was like a categorization game. And so like it gives you like a bunch of words and you have to guess what the broader category is. But it really messed with me today because it started with diamond and then it went to ring and then it went to field and then it went to court. So it was like sports places. But it started with diamond and ring. So I was going jewelry. So like really messed with me. And then the last one was, what was the last? Oh, it was like word. It was more similar to Wordle, where you have to like, it's kind of hard to explain, but they all took about 2 to 5 minutes. Partly because I'm not that intelligent, and and they were fun. It was entertaining. So I enjoyed it. Yeah,
I might have to give them a try. I kind of enjoy those small, quick games. I think I've talked about it before on Tech Talk Y'all that I'm a big fan of the New York Times mini crossword puzzle.
You and Mickey compete. I know, and like he just dominates you basically every day is what I hear. So
he definitely today he did. I gotta tell you, I hate today's because it was actually the same word 3 times in a row down. And it annoyed me because I was doing the acrosses. Mickey got it in, I think he told me, I think it was like 14 or 16. It's a ridiculous number that he got it in.
Okay.
It's basically 16 seconds he got it in. It's basically a speed that is never going to be able to be beaten by me. So that annoys me to no end. I did not tell him that, but he's going to know that once he hears this now. Episode. Yeah.
I love it. So, and I was going to also mention lastly about the LinkedIn games. You can only play them once a day. And I believe you can share them like on your profile and stuff too, to like compete with other friends on LinkedIn. So I think it's a really interesting and cool way to get people more engaged on the platform. I think it will legitimately make me more engaged on LinkedIn, which I've been actively trying to be. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mini games is a smart way to go. Maybe it'll be good. It just seems weird, right? Like professional networking and mini games.
Yeah. But New York Times and crosswords. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's the same thing. New York Times is like hard hitting news and like crosswords. Like, okay, let's do that.
Because I mean, they've done crosswords since the beginning of time, I feel like. And it's like
there was a point.
Smarty pants thing. So, but
that's my point. Like that. So is this LinkedIn, business professional, intelligence games. I mean, I think it's the same tie-in. I think it's the same. It's analogous.
So then do you get like less job prospects if you're bad at the games?
And I hope so. That's my goal. That's what's going to keep me from work is the being bad at LinkedIn games. That's what's going to happen. So
that's good. Something else that's going to keep you away from work, maybe, hopefully. A lawsuit argues Meta is required by law to let you control your own feed. So I mainly tagged this because the guy that's suing them they're being sued on behalf of, is a guy by the name of Ethan Zuckerman. Ethan happens to be a friend of mine. I've known Ethan for quite some time. He's a good guy. Here's the thing you don't know about Ethan, and it's not told in this article. Ethan's original claim to fame is, you're going to hate him, he invented the pop-up window. So this was a long time ago, and I believe he was working at Tripod. Do you remember Tripod?
No.
It was a free hosting service way back in the day.
Okay. All right.
There he came up with the idea to create the pop-up window on browsers. Yeah. Now, obviously, you never see pop-up windows almost for anything because browsers control that. But the only reason browsers control that is because Ethan created it originally way back in the 90s.
That's crazy.
But this story is really about him creating a Firefox extension that allows you to unfollow everything and everyone inside of Facebook so that then you don't get an endless doom scrolling list of stuff to look at, which I think is actually a really good idea.
But it's a great idea. Yeah.
He's not released it because he knows it's going to get shut down. And blocked by Meta. So preemptively they're suing to allow users to control their feed, which
I might actually go back to looking at Facebook if I could use this like that. I mean, honestly, the reason I don't look at Facebook is because I'm connected to so many, like I'm probably 1200 people on there and pretty much all of which I kind of know roughly who they are. And many of which I don't ever want to see what they think about certain things ever.
And unfollowing doesn't disconnect you from these people. You can still go to their individual pages and look at what they're doing.
You still look them up.
So you can still message them, do all the same things. So I think Meta's approach on this, I think, is wrong now. It was probably right when they launched. Like if this had come out when they launched, it would have hurt their prospects of growth. They are now at the point where there's a little bit of this backlash, and I think people are using it less. But like you, if you could clean up that whole thing and then be deliberate about the people that you're actually following, you'd probably use it more. And I think it would probably be better for Facebook's growth prospects in the future if they would allow something like this. But, you know, people be crazy, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, so our one article for Weird and Wacky for you is how AI will change the way you cook. And I tagged it because, first of all, I'm getting into more cooking. And some of the problems it's talking about are problems I experience actually right now. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I like how the article presumes that you already cook. Because for me, that may not be.
Well, it might be the way we cook might be a better term, right? It cited a couple of things I thought were interesting. One is there's a propensity to overcook food because you're afraid of undercooking food. So I experience this pretty regularly when I grill a burger or a chicken or whatever else. And my family lets me know that I overdid it. And I overdo it because I'm afraid of underdoing it, right? And so...
you don't want to salmonella the whole family.
Yeah, like, exactly. That's not good. Yeah, it's terrible. And so like that's really interesting. Like there's new gadgets that use AI and algorithms to help you make sure you do it. Because apparently like you can be cooking food and like grilling something and take it off the grill and it will still rise in temperature for a bit before it actually starts lowering in temperature. And so... which is interesting. Another one is reducing food waste. So like, that's like the whole, like Samsung's got cameras inside your fridge. So you sort of know what's there. So you don't like buy a carton of something that you already have a carton of, and then you've got two cartons of it and then something doesn't get used or whatever else, which I think that's also really interesting. And I like that a lot. I could use it more for my pantry though, where like, I don't like how many cans of black beans do I need? Like, that's really the question. And the answer is not as many as I have typically. So, but like, or just like some AI to do, like I would love to be like, have a list of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And like, hey, like these are the 15 staple items, bananas, right? Strawberry, like whatever. And like, just go to the store and pull up an app and go, are we out of bananas? And just, it'll just tell me if we're out of bananas or not. You know, like that would be nice.
It sounds like in your pantry, what you need is Amazon's just take and go without checking out feature.
Yeah.
So basically, you need to hire a bunch of people in India to monitor the cameras in your pantry.
Okay, got it.
To let you know how much stuff
there's
you
an
have.
Inherent problem with cameras in the pantry and cameras in the fridge. And that is if you just pile stuff in there, it can't see it all.
You hire a bunch of people in India to do the analysis for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure my cameras in either of those devices would work out well for me personally. But anyway, I love the concept of this, is all I'm saying. I think it's going to make cooking interesting in the future.
So. I'll say, I know they talked about the June oven in there. I looked at that at one point. I just couldn't pull the trigger oven on it, but it looked interesting. It's basically, I think that oven has a camera inside of it at the top.
Interesting.
It watches the food cook. And so it's actually looking at it as well. And I think it's got other sensors as well.
Yeah.
But your point of how things continue to cook, or bake after you pull them out, it's something that I talk about a lot here in the house. I'm like, when we're making cookies and stuff like that, I'm like, no, I think, I think they're ready. They're like, oh, but it's still soft. I was like, I think it's going to finish once we take it out. Cause the heat, the residual heat is still there and it continues to bake.
Going.
And so,
yes, right.
Yeah. Otherwise like the cookies come out too crunchy and that's
you don't want some crunchy cookies. Crunchy cookies are not what you want.
If you're getting Chips Ahoy. Chips Ahoy, fine, crunchy.
Right.
Homemade
what you're getting. You're basically getting a sweet chip is what you're getting. A Chip Ahoy. That's really what it is. Like, let's just be real. So, anyway. All right, Sanjay, Tech Break time. What do you have for us this week?
So I looked through our show notes and I was surprised that I never recommended this because I've been using this keyboard for quite some time, but the Logitech MX Keys wireless keyboard.
I'm shocked you haven't recommended that before.
Yeah, okay. It's become my go-to keyboard for my computer. I had a different Logitech keyboard before, but it was showing its age and not really functioning properly anymore. So I really like this, and I'm going to show it off since we've got a camera here, but
boom.
So what it looks like here, right? It functions really, really well. And I actually noticed something the other day when I was buying a second one of these is that you can actually take it apart and remove the batteries that are internal to it so that you can recycle it.
Oh, cool. Okay. Nice.
Because normally if you've got electronics like this that have embedded batteries, it makes it much, much harder to recycle the electronics. But they've kind of thought that through with this to do that. The wireless portion of it works flawlessly. You recharge it with USB-C. It seems to last a very, very long time. And I like the fact that it's backlit. So if your room is a little bit dark, you can have your keys lit up. And then the final thing that I really, really like about it, it's got some software on there where you can actually change the functionality of keys based on the application that you're using.
Oh, that's handy. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
So okay. I've actually set up one of the keys that when I'm in my email programs, it's an emoji keyboard that comes up so that I can quickly find the emoji that I want to add into that email that I'm typing. But when I'm in other applications, that key is something else. So
right, it's your favorite
really
emoji,
kind of a nice function.
Your favorite emoji is?
I think I do the laughing, crying, rolling one a lot.
That's the one I was going to pick. Yes, the laughing, crying one. Yeah. Though, increasingly, apparently, there's some backlash against the thumbs up from Gen Z saying that it's not appropriate. And all the Gen Xers on TikTok are like, we're going to keep giving you the thumbs up because that's ridiculous.
Why is it not appropriate?
I have no idea what it is about the thumbs up. But the Gen Xers on TikTok are like, yeah, we're going to make you cry. Like, that's it's so funny, so, man.
I've heard that the winky face is not appropriate either now.
That one too. Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah, there's several.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, same. Yeah. Gen Z has banned several TikTok or several emojis that that it does not like. And like I mentioned, there's like this whole subculture of Gen Xers on TikTok that are like, yeah, this is what it was like growing up and having to drink out of the water hose outside because you weren't allowed inside during the summer, and we made each other cry for fun. And I'm like, it's just like, it's a whole different world, man. It's so good. It's so
I had back in the day when we used ASCII emojis, you know, semicolon, dash, you know, close
friend. I still use that.
Like
old school.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, anyways, that's my tech rec. What about you? What do you have for us?
Okay, so, all right, I can't wait. This is so good.
You've been
good.
Excited
okay.
about Woo! This the entire episode.
Okay, this is going to be the best. All right, so I'm going to recommend Udio.com, Udio.com.
Okay.
It is an AI music generation tool based on a prompt. So I put in the prompt a song about a technology news podcast that is also funny. And I now have a 32-second song that you're going to hear and react to live.
Okay.
On the show. You ready for this?
I've not heard this before, sir. Tune in.
Hope for some tech news thrill. Then you laugh, you even smile. Hear them talking gadgets in style. So if your pod's on point, you best to heed this joint. Subscribe in.
I love it. We need to be on radio ads with this song. The only thing missing is it didn't say Tech Talk Y'all. I think you just need to have it do that song with saying,
that's a good idea. I'll have it recreate a song with the Tech Talk Y'all in it. I'll put that at the end of this episode as well.
But it needs to be exactly that song because that is excellent. I love it.
Wasn't that great though? It created two. The other one was a little weirder, but this one was like,
it created the singing, the music, everything. It created everything.
All of it. And it did it in like maybe a minute and a half. Like, I mean, it was so fast.
Is this site free? How is this free?
It's in beta for one. So maybe that's why. But yeah, it's free. And it's, I went into that one prompt. And just spit out two songs. And then you could also, there was a button to like make the song longer because it gave you like a 32-second clip, but I could have made it like a full song as well. I mean, there's thousands of songs already on here. Like Tim Ferriss, I found this because he recommended it in his weekly newsletter, his Friday wrap-up newsletter. And like he had like a song on here with like 50,000 plays and downloads. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know what I'm doing for the rest of my Friday.
You love music, so this
I do.
This works out. Speaking of loving music, have you heard the new Shaboozy song that's all over TikTok? Because
I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know what
he just hit the number one country charts number one. He just replaced Beyonce's song on there, and it's a fantastic song. I put it in our Slack channel. Take a look at it. But it's a really, really well done. It's country rap. It's like a style you've never heard. It's amazing. So anyway.
Country rap.
Yeah. All right, Sunjay. How can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on Udio making songs, or they can find me at sunjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
They can find me on adamjwalker.com because I've already made songs and I'm just gonna go take a nap now. Do-do-do!